How many times per day are you aware of just stop and simple as that, take a deep breath, you know, so make sure in 1 hour you stop for 1 second and take a deep breath.
Hey everybody, this is Cliff Ravenscraft from PodcastAnswerMan.com and you are listening to my favorite Kiwi podcast, My Kiwi Life with Will Fleming.
Hey friends, thanks very much for joining me on this week's episode of My Kiwi Life. My name's Will Fleming and firstly, I just want to thank you all for downloading this episode. Honestly, it's wicked to know you're on board. I keep getting awesome feedback on Twitter, Facebook, you know, all the good stuff via email. Just people are getting the show and, you know, I don't mean to be too cheesy, but it is so awesome that people are getting it. And yeah, just a high five and thumbs up. It actually makes logical sense, right, that we're feeling good about kind of forming this community of awesome ideas, you know, just not trying to like stuff ourselves up and be mean to each other. It does feel good. So logically, it makes sense to me. Okay, this week's guest is a real goodie. So make sure you make time to listen to this one. Heaps of tips and tricks to being happy here. Not the cheesy stuff, you know. Stuff like, you know, breathing and just turning off the mind and doing, you know, awesome stuff. So Vanderson Perez is his name. He's a Brazilian dude. He's like a jiu-jitsu dude. He just rocks that stuff. And he joins me and Crawford in the studio today. So we'll jump straight to this week's episode. It's a little bit long, so make sure you got time. Listen to it in traffic. Maybe go for a bit of a wander. Hey, just a few thanks. Crawford, thank you, man. Really appreciate all the hard work you put in. Paul Spain, same to you, brother. Thank you again, and all your crew over at Podcasts New Zealand. Here we go, folks. Enjoy this week's episode. Make sure you give someone a hug today. Hugs to everyone.
My Kiwi Life, let's play the game of life today. My Kiwi Life, the ups and downs we live each day. This is my Kiwi Life. Oh, this is my Kiwi Life.
So I'm from São Paulo, Brazil. Yeah, big city.
Anderson from Brazil.
Yeah.
Ended up in New Zealand.
Yeah, so, oh, thank you. So, I'm a journalist, so I studied journalism in Brazil, and I was working as a journalist, doing all sorts of jobs, and, yeah. And my job said, my boss said to me, oh, you need to learn in another language, and I always had this necessity, you know, because even I think it's a language everybody should learn because all the research and everything comes first in English, you know, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
I even joke with my friends, said, guys, you have no idea how much knowledge I got after learning English, you know, how much more information I'm able to get from all sorts of things, you know, from podcasts, from books and everything. So I came to New Zealand initially only to learn English.
Yeah.
And my goal was to spend 6 months maximum, even because of visa situations and blah, blah, blah. But end up now over 6 years.
Really?
Yeah.
And is there thinking of going, leaving New Zealand, or are you happy here now?
Yeah, I'm really happy here. Yeah, wow. I really found myself here and, I'm happy with what I'm doing. Yeah. I have, you know, I'm doing the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu here, so I'm living from what I love to do. Yeah. And
is it full time for you?
Yeah, now became full time. Yeah,
and
full time.
But how long did it take before it was full time?
Oh, I'm gonna say,
because I think about things like the podcast, and if you really love something, uh-huh. You'll do it for free.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, you do think, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could do it full time?
Yes. But I think because I've been doing that, I kind of knew somehow since I was 15 years old when I started doing BJJ, and I always had that as my hobby. But I always joke that I take my hobbies really serious, you know, so I was doing that as a hobby, but every single spare time, I was on the mats, you know, everything. So between work and study, I was training.
Yeah.
And I think that's a kind of a saving, you know. So when you're passionate about something, I think it's really important. Do it just for the sake of doing, you know. And as the days go, like Robert Greene, he said on his book Mastery, you know, so that idea of you start something casually just for the sake of you love to do, and eventually you're going to become a master on that.
Yeah.
And when you become a master, you reach a point when you can live from that. So I'm going to say for me it was over 15 years practicing something, over 15 years to, to be able to live off that, you know. So it was a big investment, but I don't regret for sure. If I could done everything again, I would do for sure, you know. Now I have other hobbies, you know. I try to invest in other things, so you can always keep your mind open and keep learning different things. And but it's a kind of investment, you know. So if you think about, oh, I enjoy to do that, okay, so every single spare time I'm gonna spend doing that, you know.
Well, it's important too that we do find the right things to put our spare time in.
Mm.
If I think about my kids now, they're 10 and 8, all they want is games. And I'm kind of like, that's cool, because I remember growing up with my games, but it's not like today, you know. Their games feel like they're, that's their second world. I mean, I understand, you know, doing some BJJ, having an addiction to that. At least you're getting some benefit out of it.
Yeah.
I'm struggling to like justify to myself what's the benefit of games. There's probably some gamers out there who'll be like, nah, man, it's awesome.
There is some benefit to games, but obviously the addiction outweighs that, but there's like eye to hand coordination and that sort of stuff.
So that addiction to games might be good for, like what you say, the hand-eye coordination, but you're missing the other part, the physical activity.
Yeah.
And the same for current society now, which says go to the gym and everything will be fine, but you're missing the mind stimulation maybe of just pumping the iron. It seems like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has the perfect balance, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you guys spend a little bit of time thinking about the mind and stuff, or is that meditation something you came up with? Did you find that on your own?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's interesting because I used to do lots of different activities and be mindful of that activity. So for example, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu is something you have to be mindful, you have to be on the present, you know, because at the same time it's a type of game, you know, it's a game of your body. So when you're a beginner, you rely so much on the strength because you don't know what to do as well. So you kind of, you keep moving and spend the energy all over the place. But as you start to learn the techniques, you understand more about the dynamics of the mind. So for example, one of my techniques, every time I'm training with someone, I'm inspiring with someone, I always try to pay attention on their breathing first. So if they are breathing really hard, so, you know, I'm gonna try to, that is gonna be the trigger for my mind to pay attention on my breathing. Mm-hmm. That's gonna bring my awareness to that moment, and I'm gonna be able to have more control, because I don't want to, even the guy hear my breathing, you know, as heavily as his breathing, you know. So I always try to do the opposite thing. So you kind of start to learn some little techniques. Because I think meditation has so many different ways you can practice. I don't believe everybody's gonna feel comfortable with the idea of a sit still. And I think it's not for everybody. Mm. It's something you can develop. It's something you can learn. But initially for a beginner, I recommend other types of meditation. So for example, has activities meditation. So, BJJ or play an instrument, something you have to really engage your awareness. And you cannot do something kind of really mechanical. So for example, if you drive a car, you know, it's really mechanical, you know, it's automatic. You're not, your conscience, it's not, you know, it's really automatic. But when you develop, when you practice something, you really have to repeat something over and over again, drill something over and over again. This requires a lot of mindfulness, lots of attention to that thing. So, I've been lots of different retreats, those retreats when you go in silence and, you know, you fast and you stay in silence. You don't speak with anybody for 10 days. And
have you done that?
Ah, yeah. What's many, that like? Many times. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm going to say the first 5 days I was find every excuse possible to quit that. I said, no, this is, you know, it was really hard. Why? Because of dealing with all those addictions, you know, because even overthink, it's addiction, you know, it's addiction because even the monastery, I'm not a Buddhist, but I think that for me was, boot camp for my mind, you know, going to a retreat. I face exactly, it's nothing religious, that no religion involved in that. It's just another exercise, you know, be able to sit and to look inside of your mind, you know. Because we constantly looking for distractions, you know, constantly. Or we looking for distraction, watching something, or even sometimes reading, you know, too much as well. All those things can be just a big distraction. So that idea of a sit still, and I think we lack so much because we constantly with stimulation all the time, you know. So we lack this idea of, okay, man, sit still. You know, pay attention to your breathing, you know, because breathing is something, it's bring your awareness, you know, because breathing is something, you have no control of your breathing, you know, you can try to hold for a few minutes or whatever, but you have no control. This is, even the Buddhists, I like what they said, they think the, when you breathe in and you breathe out, is the universe use you as a flute, as an instrument. I found this really interesting. You know? So when you bring your awareness to this type of movement, you know, the universe going through you, and there's nothing mystical about that. It's the biology of the body, you know. This is a great exercise, and this really, really teaches how to control yourself, control your emotions, because otherwise we constantly reacting to stuff, you know, we constantly really react to things, you know, and the more awareness, the more mindful you are, the less reactive you're going to become. So you're going to be able to actually make less mistakes in life, being honest, you know, because it's all about make less mistakes, make better decisions. Because when you're conscious, when your awareness it's on the present, you're gonna be able to judge situations without that emotional side. Because every time we react, we're being emotional about stuff. And this is what we see all the time around us. You know, it's when our ego reacts in a really emotional way, you know, so we're not able to stop and have a rational, make a rational decision about things. Sometimes we just react and after we regret, you know, this is the price, you know, and this constantly attachment to things from past, or this anxiety of keep constantly think about the overthink about the future and those things, this drains so much energy. So what I found those type of retreats, first, it's possible to calm your mind. It's just exercise, you know, it's nothing mystical, nothing religion about that. It's just exercise. And when you're in an environment, when you don't need to interact too much, you don't have internet, you eat in the right time, in the right amount, and those things, and you don't need to interact too much and even plan your day too much, because on those retreats, every single day, it's the same. So you don't need to plan everything. So you give the enough tools to your mind to calm down. And it's impressive. It's possible to stop thinking. I can guarantee this to you guys because I experienced that more than once. I'm going to say it's really hard when you go out of the retreat. It's a little bit harder. You know, I still trying to get that feeling back because I do practice meditation, every day, and I always try to be mindful of what I'm doing, but that environment is different. That is it's a perfect environment to really calm your mind because of those factors, you know, so you don't need to plan anything. You don't need to report anything. You don't need to answer anybody. You know, it's just you look after your mind and kind of, you know, it's that invitation to go in. You know, and this is priceless. You know, I recommend it to anybody, you know, to have the opportunity to do that.
I mean, what I think about is my day, and I think there's been no time today where I've given my mind a chance to relax.
Exactly.
6:30 this morning, up. First, walk down the hall, look at the kids. Okay, their blankets are on them. Next, make a coffee.
Yeah.
I have a lovely wife. Everything's thumbs up. So I have my coffee, then shower. In the shower, a moment of silence. Have a think about the day, but it's not thinking about now. It's thinking when I get to work, I've got to do this. I've got to talk to that person.
Uh-huh.
And then in the car, in the traffic, headphones in, podcast, Joe Rogan on.
Yes.
Helps me get through the traffic. Get to work. Morning, everyone. Playing the character. Go to work. Work all the way up to end of the day, which is my favorite time because we can podcast.
Uh-huh.
And then do everything I can to get in this room and start talking. But nowhere in there, and I assume people out there have a similar day. This is quite normal. 7 days, well, maybe 5 days a week. And the weekend, you fill it up with barbecues, catch up, friends, you know, family time. So I'm just trying to think, I want all that stuff you were talking about, but I'm just thinking, do I need to carve out 1 hour? Do I need to try and make time during the day? And how are we going to do this? Maybe we do need to force more time for ourselves. Do you think we need to do that?
Yeah. And I think, so I'm going to share with you guys my technique. So what I do during the day to trigger my awareness. So for example, in the morning, I think morning and before you go to bed are the key points to practice the sit meditation. And you can sit, just by yourself. You can put headphones with, binaural beats, or guide meditation, anything like that. So imagine if you wake up for 10 minutes, you do that. No, so 10 minutes early. Before you do anything, you sit there or even lie down on your bed, you know, and just put a headphones and try to listen to begin. Okay. This is think about someone. It's going to get into to meditation. So 10 days you can find online in lots of different guided meditation. Another thing I recommend I used to use a lot. I had this app on my phone. So I set up for 5 in 5 minutes. Of course, you don't need to go to this extreme. You can set up anytime you want. But in 5 in 5 minutes, my phone was ring this bell. And when I heard the sound, what I do, I just stop everything I'm doing and I just take a deep breath. So this is a really simple way to trigger your awareness. So if you start counting how many times per day are you aware of just stopping, simple as that, take a deep breath, you know, so make sure in 1 hour you stop for 1 second and take a deep breath. So all those little things, the end of the day, it's kind of investment. It's kind of your savings, you know. So you're gonna use the compound effect, you know. So every single hour you take one second to take one deep breath or two deep breaths or five. This already make a huge difference in your awareness. Another thing I still doing that as well. I carry, as you guys can see here, I carry a little notebook. So every time I get emotional about something, I always ask, how I get emotional to this? Why? What make me emotional about that? Because you're going to realize after doing that for a while, you're going to repeat the same patterns and it's constantly the same things going to make you or angry or excited or depressed or, you know, it's what makes me emotional, you know, it's so those little techniques, and of course practice something you like, with awareness. So things for myself, I found really, really useful to bring my awareness. I'm still learning English, you know, English is still something I'm practicing a lot as I'm reading or as I'm listening to something. So I'm constantly paying really attention to the words so I can improve my English. BJJ, of course, it's my main type of meditation. It's the meditation of activity because I'm interacting with another person, energy. And like I said, I'm really conscious about not only their moves, but their breathing and the whole interaction that bring my awareness, you know, in a really high level.
It's amazing.
And playing an instrument. I really like music. I play guitar and it's something engage me so much. You know, it's my hobby, you know, so outside of BJJ, it's something I really enjoy to do because when I'm practice, I scale or learn a new song, you kind of really need to engage your attention, your awareness, you know. So those little things, I think help helps. It's something possible for anybody to do. Doesn't matter how busy you are. I know if you make the plan in every single hour, I'm going to stop and take one deep breath or two or three or five, whatever.
It's just in the nose, out the mouth.
Exactly. Yeah. And especially when you're emotional about something, when you're tired about, because I think about mind as a muscle, you know? So if you keep lifting weighting during the whole day, what's going to happen if your bicep, you know, you're going to get fatigue, yeah. You know, you're going to get tired, you know, you're going to damage that. With the brain, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. We do need to make the time to reset, to rest. And the overthinking has so much science, you know, when they put those scans on your brain and when you overthink about stuff, it's takes so much energy. Because one interesting thing at the retreat, after 5 days, I was sleeping only for 2 hours per night, and I was with full energy. And guys, I always was a person, if I don't sleep 8 hours per day, I was grumpy the next day, you know. But after 5 days practicing the meditation at this environment, I was able to sleep just 2 hours per night. And I was there, and I asked one of the monks, and he said, no, this is normal. Why? Because you're not using so much energy. You're not using so much your mind. So, of course, your mind, it's you know, it's full of energy. You don't need to rest that much. So that was something I wasn't reading a book. It wasn't someone telling me. It was myself experiencing that thing in a really live situation, you know. So that was amazing. That was amazing. And I'm constantly trying to recreate that. But as I said, it's not that easy because, you know, we constantly interacting and doing stuff, you know. So this is the...
What's it like when you visit the guys in prison? Because their environment will be different to our environment. In the outside, we have all of these things we choose to look at, choose to fill our brains up. Do you see a different pattern with the guys? I mean, I should probably say that's part of your story, right? You go and you take what you've learned and help people who are in prison.
Yeah. So, after experiment this, all the benefits of meditation, I had to calm myself down for I'm gonna say for a few years after that, because I got really excited about the idea of okay, meditation. This is such an important tool. This is such a powerful tool. And after I got my residence, my permanent residence in New Zealand, I was really feeling that necessity of what can I give back to the society I'm living in? How I can make the environment, the community I'm living a better place, you know. So how can I take action towards that? So I was thinking, okay, I'm already doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but, and I do interact with lots of people. What's great, you know, it's a social thing, so powerful. But I'm getting paid for that. So I cannot count that, you know. So how can I be a complete volunteer and do something when I can give my time to someone, you know, need some help, some guidance. And this is why I became a volunteer at the prison. So I decided to talk with the guys about my experience and see if someone is gonna identify with that. And I'm, for my surprise, has been something great, and a really high level, I'm gonna say, because I'm really connected with, it's a place when I have to go there, guys, and look at people as it's human beings. You know, I always say to them, say, guys, oh, I'm born in Brazil, but I'm not Brazilian. I'm a human being, you know, and I don't care if you come from New Zealand, from anywhere. We are human beings, you know, and because you go there and I'm talking for murders, guys has been raped, you know, people and beating people up, really high crimes, you know, things we normally we judge straight away, you know, but I go there in the sense, Where's the two places people suffering the most? In my opinion, it's prison and hospitals, but both are prisons in different ways, you know? Yeah. So this is why I decided to go to the prisons, because, lots of those guys, unfortunately, the only language they speak it's violence and survive. So how can I survive here? You know, how can I, you know, in the way they express themselves is through violence, you know, and in buying, talking about meditation, about values, and practice the meditation with them and give you little tools. Like I said, you know, oh guys, you should, when you eat, really pay attention when you chew, when you have a shower, how can you trigger your awareness during the activities you normally do during the day? But normally you do something, think about something else, you know, so how you can engage yourself in one activity, because we are not multitasking. We are not multitasking, you know, we can focus on just one thing. So at the prison, it has been great to see, how those guys are dealing, because they're dealing with a lot of guilt, a lot of anxiety, you know, depression. You can clear see those things. But at the same time, I can see how the meditation has been great, because now they have a tool to deal with those things. Because it's different for them as well, have someone like me going there, because I want to be there. It's not someone pay me to be there, or I'm not telling them, oh, you should do this or you should do that. No, I'm going there to, like I said, I made a group of human beings, and we are discussing ideas, you know, and, you know, we interact with each other, and has been really, really positive. And I can really see mindfulness being a great, great, great tool for them to deal with all that, you know, like I said, the guilt, the anxiety, and even exercise compassion, you know, compassion with themselves, compassion with the others.
What exactly are you teaching them when you go there? Are you teaching them just the meditation, the mindfulness? Are you also teaching them jujitsu? Or what?
No, the majority.
And did you just walk up to the prison and just say, hey, I'm just here to teach meditation, they just let you in?
No. So one of my students, his name is Wayne, he's a prison guard. He's been prison guard for over 18 years, at Ramataka prison. And he was one of the guys, we were always were talking, because he always asked me about meditation, and we always chat about mindfulness and meditation. And he started to practice, his family started practicing, and one of his daughters was dealing with some anxiety. And after find meditation, she really, found a tool to be able to be more in control of those things. So, you know, he was my bridge towards the prison. So I asked him, I said, hey Wayne, do you think it's a good idea? Do you think they're gonna be open to something like that? He said, oh, I'm not sure. Let's try. So he spoke with those guys at, you know, his boss at prison. This guy's, okay, with Nick, one of the psychologists at the prison. So they got together, said, okay, because I was running some workshops at the club about meditation, but really casual. I run some workshops at the club, at my own house. So they came to those workshops, and they saw me doing that. They said, I think it could be a good idea. So I said, oh, let's make a test. Let's run 10 weeks, 10 sessions, when I'm going to talk about, what I think it's the three pillars for happiness. You know, so, health first, love, and wealth. You know, in wealth, not in the sense of money, you know, the cash, but, how you can have the enough tools to be able to create your happiness, you know, because if one of those things are missing, I don't think we're going to be able to find happiness. You know, we need those two things. And I think this is the order as well. You know, health first, for sure, love and wealth. And those guys, they definitely they're lacking in some of those pillars, you know. So I went there, and not with the sense of talk about meditation and the Buddhist sense, or I have my own approach, you know. So the things those techniques I use, I've been learning through myself and through books and to go to seminars and to talk to people. So now I'm trying to pass it on for so many reasons. First, because I think if you want to be good in something, teach someone. I think it's my philosophy, you know. This is, and I can see how I've been improving myself from jiu-jitsu to meditation. When I'm I'm passing on what I've been receiving in this, keeping me constantly learning more and more and more. And at the prison wasn't different. So we start to talk about, how you can trigger your awareness during the day. So how you can be less reactive, how you can let it go, that toughness, you know, why do you need to keep hold of that toughness? You know, why do you need to be this tough guy 24/7? You know, why is that? And what are you doing with your time at the prison? You know, are you spend your time trying to learn something like Paul? Paul, it's a great example, guys. You know, Paul, it's one guy in a million, you know? So I'm trying to say, guys, what are you doing with your time here? Are you just using this time to be the tough guy? Or are you using this time to really think about stuff and, you know, review and learn about compassion and try to develop a skill as well, you know, because I think when you start to develop a skill, when you're passionate about something, you're constantly going to be mindful because you're going to try to learn more, you're going to try to understand more. And when you try to pass this on to another person, it's even, you take this to another level. You know? And this is what I'm trying to do as well, you know, so I do have my selfish reasons for sure, you know, so I go there, I talk to the guys, I'm learning so much, I'm learning from them as well, because the first time I got there, we had some guys, they were shaking, they could even make eye contact with me, they were really nervous about it, even about to sit and look inside. So what this means? This means you're going to have to deal with some emotions, some memories, some guilt, and the meditation bring all those things up. You know, so right. how you deal with that? You know, so some people are really afraid of sitting still and, you know, and those thoughts, those ghosts, those demons, you know, start coming up, you know, so how can you deal with that? You know, and I think the majority of people now, we lack on that, you know, guys, we really lack on this awareness because we start to believe this whole noise on our mind, it's real and it's not, you know, thoughts are just thoughts, you know, I always say to the guys, the mind, the brain, it's not designed to make you happy. It's your mind. It's your awareness and you need to practice that, you know, you need to practice this awareness. Because the brain, it's one thing. The mind is another thing. So when you meditate, you create this separation. You know exactly the difference when it's your brain thinking about something, just being addictive to those feelings, those chemical reaction, you know, that idea of the brain doesn't know the difference, what is real and what's not, you know. So if I said, oh, has a lion behind of you, your heart's going to go hard, you know. The whole adrenaline, the brain already shifted to the survive mode, you know? So how you can control that, you know? How you can be, understand the difference of my thoughts is not real. Just thoughts. What's real? It's when I bring my five senses, this is real. The things I can smell, I can touch, I can see. You know, those things are real. So how we can practice the ability of every time you keep daydreaming, you bring back your five senses, you know, and this, it's what intrigues your awareness back to the reality, back to the present, you know?
Well, even if you think of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, those five senses you're talking about, you're up close with someone, there's smell, there's touch, there's sight. And so you add this thing you're talking about with taking that one breath every hour.
Mm-hmm.
And these are very powerful things that are in reach for everyone, right? We're not talking about something where you have to go to another country and have a 12-day quiet session.
No.
These are things people can start tomorrow, which excites me. It gives me an idea to, I often say on the podcast, you know, this is a crazy zoo we're now living in, but we're not going to go back to how it was. So we better find ways to be happy in our zoo.
Yes.
Because you can't get out of traffic. You still got to have a job.
No, yes.
You're trying to sometimes, you know, do your best to cook your own food, but at times you're going to have takeaway.
Yes.
So just try and find strategies in the middle of those to help us do what we do.
Yeah.
As humans, you know, and right now something's mixed up, you know, where this idea, what you were talking about, Vanderson, where the mind's just making stuff up, thinking, projecting forward, back, sideways.
Yeah.
It's just leaving us thinking, what's going on? You know? And I'm sure depression comes out of that, you know, crushing of the mind and then it can't handle it. So I once thought maybe depression is just a way for your body just to say, and your mind, turn it off, man.
Yes.
It's too much.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like when you get sick, you know, you've made your immune system so sick from push. It just shuts down. I don't want enough.
Sometimes I even use this analogy of overthinking. It's kind of, you know, you're doing a trek, you're doing a hiking with a really, really heavy bag full of rocks, you know, full of stones. Man, let it go. You know, the journey, it's a long journey. No, it's not a race. You know, it's a marathon. You know, it's a long marathon. So, man, let it go. You know, make your journey light. You know, don't make it hard for yourself. You know, make it light. And how you can make the journey light? You know, how can make it more enjoyable? You know, so, if I could give advice to someone, you know, guys, it's different. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu has the full package, the sense of, it's something everybody can do from 5 years old to, you know, at the club. So at my club in Wellington. So we have from 5 years old to the senior one is 57. We have all sorts of body weights, all sorts of body shapes, you know, so we have people fit, we have people overweight, we have people all sorts. So there are no excuse about, I need to get in shape or I need to do this. No. You just need to cross a club door, you know, and follow your instructor and that's it. You're gonna doing the right things. So it's an exercise. It has the social aspect. You're going to interact with lots of different people because it's different if you go to a gym and you just interact with a machine. You know, you're going to get bored. Some people really enjoy that. But if it's not your thing and you try to force that, forget it. You're going to sign up the membership and you're never going to go, you know? So, the good thing about the BJJ is that. So, anybody can do it. It's social. You're gonna be able to, as you said, to work the five senses in a really, really extreme, you know, in a really good way to improve yourself, improve your health, improve your mind, improve your attention. And it's a good tool to deal with anxiety, you know, because you're gonna have to deal with some situations under pressure. But at the same time, it's a really friendly, safe environment, you know, so you can practice. I always say this to the guys, I said, guys, when we drill, we can recreate the future. So it's this the way we can prepare ourselves for the future, you know, for a real situation. So when you go to the training, you just practice, you enjoying, but underneath you're preparing yourself. You're developing a skill. It's a skill as well. It's not just exercise for the sake of make you sweat and lose weight or whatever. Those things are just a consequence, but you're building up a skill and a physical skill, a mental skill. What it's for me, it's priceless, you know. I cannot see, build up your confidence, you know, you're gonna understand more about yourself, about your limitations, about your potential as well. How many people came to the class and said, oh man, I'm so glad because I never thought I could be an athlete, you know, because I never was good in any type of sport. And when they found BJJ, they said, wow, this is great. You know, I can do something. I can become good on something because it doesn't rely on strength. It doesn't rely, as I said, if I line up the whole club, you know, so I don't know, maybe 100 guys, you know, and if I ask you guys, pick which one do you think is the best? I'm pretty sure you guys are going to pick wrong, you know, because you're going to pick it that says, oh, that guy's muscly, you know, he's strong. And it's not, you know, it's always the, It really, really translated that idea of Darwin, you know, so which one survives? It's the one, it's not the strongest ones. The one can adapt better to situations. And BJJ, it's a great way to exercise that. The best ones are the ones easily adapted to new situations, not the ones try to fight against or to try to resist against, you know, try to use the strength against stuff. And this is something so cool about BJJ, you know?
Well, there's two things which is amazing with what you said. One, that the weight loss is the byproduct of just doing something. Because weight loss for everyone is the main goal. But what I love is you're saying that that will just happen.
Yes.
Don't even worry about that. It'll just happen. It'll be happening because you're having so much, you know, doing some stuff, have a good time learning, and you're not even aware. And I feel like that might be the answer to a lot of things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Don't look at it as the main goal.
No.
See it as a byproduct. And maybe we have to start thinking about these, the things in our mind. There was another thing you were talking about too, which I've lost now. But that's all right. It'll come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just quickly, you were talking before we started recording about that the prisoners are giving you feedback
mm-hmm.
on, you know, your involvement with them. Is that something you thought would happen? Did you think that they would then share their self with you?
No, not really. When I started there, I've been really honest. I have no much expectation about it. You know, I said, I'm gonna give my 100% and see what's gonna happen. And by my surprise, so after the 10 sessions, you know, so I got this, one of the feedbacks, I got this letter from this guy. He's been there since he was 15 years old. And he said, I never had, because I was talking with them about unconditional love, you know, so the sense of when you give something to someone, you not expect anything back, you know, so that idea of have no attachment to things. Because when you attach it to things, this is when the suffering comes from, you know, so when you attach it to something, you're going to create a tension, and this is where the whole suffering comes from. So if you don't accept something happens in your life, when you don't accept the things, this is where the suffering comes from. And I was saying to them about love, you know, so the, when you express love to someone, when you do something to someone, do for the sake of, you know, I want to do that. You know, I'm not expecting anything back. And they said, but in, you know, in prison it's different. Nothing here is for free. And this guy was saying to me he never had a love relationship in his life. So it was interesting because he was asking to me, but if I love my partner and I do everything for her, but, you know, she doesn't do the same thing back. So is that right? Is that wrong? I said, so I make this joke of him. I said, so I stand up in front of him and I said, okay, control my mind. Start right now. Go. Control my mind. Try to control my mind, you know. And I was looking at him and said, go inside of my mind and try to control. He said, no, it's impossible. I said, but look, this is what I'm trying to say, you know. You cannot control the other person, you know. You're going to give something back and forget it, you know. You're giving. You're dealing with the things you have control of. It's yourself. The way the other person is going to take that, you have no control. And you should not even worry with that. It's about you, you know. So the unconditional love, it's when you give something and you don't expect anything back. Wow. And this is an exercise, you know. This is something we constantly have to exercise that. Another thing I like to do, I call the terrorism of love. So sometimes I put in an envelope. $5 notes or $10 notes, and I just put a little note. I said, someone one day did that to me, and I'm doing that to you now. You know, buy a coffee and have a great day, something like that. I don't put my name. I don't know who the person is. So you do that. You put in some random letterbox, you know, and forget it. So what I'm exercise by doing that? Unconditional love, because I'm not expect a thank you. I'm not expect the person said, oh, you are amazing, or you're doing that. Thank you so much. I'm not expect anything. You know, I'm just doing that for the sake. And this is an exercise, you know, guys, because the more you do those little things, the more you fulfill your life. Because guys, one thing, it's true, you know, it's kind of a sound corny, whatever, but lots of people after a while, they, you know, you start to realize, okay, I'm doing this job just because of the money, but I'm not making a difference in anybody's life, you know. I think every single person, you know, is gonna get in that stage and they're gonna question themselves, what I'm doing, I'm making a difference in anybody's life. Because if you're not doing that, yeah, you're gonna feel something's wrong, you know? Doesn't matter how much money you're making, how much recognition are you getting from society or whatever. If you don't feel you're doing something, trying at least to change someone's life, personally, that was my goal, you know. So I constantly try to, in the small things, you know, guys, you don't need to be a billionaire, you know. Sometimes you have $5 or $2, doesn't matter, you know. And this is just one example. You can make up your own stuff, you know. You can develop your own ways to express unconditional love. So when I was talking with those things, with those, you know, those guys, I really felt that was, you know, something... They somehow they relate to this, you know, when I explain. And this guy, he wrote me a really cool letter, 4 pages. I have the letter here, you know, talking about this, lesson or whatever, you know, this talk we had there, you know. And for me, that already was worth it. Every single second, you know, every single minute of my time to going there, you know, into, because being really honest, you know, guys, I don't know how long that guy's gonna stay in prison. I don't know if one day I'm gonna see him out, if you're gonna interact. It's just exercise the unconditional love. You know, you give something and forget it. You know, you're not expect anything back.
It's such a hurdle though for people to get over, right? If you think of someone in prison, they've done something possibly horrible to be there.
Mm.
So to go in there and to say, look, I want to connect with you as a human first. Can you be honest enough with me and I'll be honest with you and we'll put everything to the side and just connect?
Yes.
And I still feel like there's a bit of work we need to do with that, you know, in society. I know myself, I'm very quick to snap judgment. Mm-hmm. Some of the time I think it might be because I get a false sense of danger. And I wonder if this idea of take you, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you know, you're in control of your body.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what that means is that if someone's going to try and take control, you know how to operate your body.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone maybe like me, maybe like a listener who hasn't really had fights before, who doesn't know how deep it goes when you're trying to survive for life.
Mm-hmm.
We only can go from movies, imagination, and we're back to the same problem.
Yeah.
Mind this way, that way, every way, and we don't know what's going on. So I know for me, if I was going to start BJJ, it would be to try not to be a good fighter, but to know and understand my body so that if there is a real threat, I can trust myself and make that decision. And so I think it's a bit more important than we realize. I mean, maybe back in caveman days, part of your job was surviving by physical.
Yes.
So you were doing that from a child, but now we're just big babies. You know, we eat 3 times a day.
Yeah.
We sleep, you know, we do everything we can to make ourselves sick.
Uh-huh. Well, take the analogy further with like the knowing how to fight. It's like a mind fight as well. When you're constantly bombarded with like all this crap all around you and like media that's like propagating fear and stuff like that, that stuff influences you.
For sure. Yeah.
And you don't want it to, but it does. It's like, oh, I'm scared now. And you react in certain ways when you're scared in the same way that you would react certain ways if you're afraid of someone.
Yeah.
That could potentially hurt you.
Well, imagine if the world was like what you were saying. You're looking at their breathing to trigger your own. That's a mind-blowing fact for me that you, when you're sparring, you know, you're looking at their breathing, you're observing them, and then you're taking it back to yourself. Because we don't do that. We only observe.
Mm-hmm.
We're not in control of our own stuff. We're looking around. We're observing. So I really love that. I actually remembered my point before. You were talking about the winner of the 100 men would be the best adapter.
Mm-hmm.
And why that's so important for me is I feel like maybe the problem with everything is that we're not able to adapt. We're stuck, you know, same routine, same this and that. So it's important that I will integrate that into my life, the breath every hour. I feel like that's a really strong thing, Vanderson, because you're talking to people possibly like me who are at the very start. The whole time I've been in the Matrix and I've been very happy there getting fatter and older and thinking that my career was everything. Now my world's changing and I don't know what to do with that. I don't know what to do with the people around me. because I'm on the up, you know, I'm talking to people like you and you have perspective and a story. So where do you think this, you know, philosophical view of everything comes from? Is there like, were people in your childhood and putting this in your head, this idea of connection with people, this idea that we are humans first? Mm-hmm. Is this something normal for the people around you growing up? Or do you think some people are just born with it or without?
Yeah, good. I'm not sure, because even my background, you know, I come from a dysfunctional family. I think like lots of us, you know, I don't have idea who my dad is. So I kind of, I was one thing I always curious about information and how I can, you know, not only make myself better, but the environment, you know, because guys, it's kind of a common sense, you know, in a better environment, you know, it's, this is our goal, you know, live in a better place, you know, when we can, in Brazil, I think I felt really, especially São Paulo, when it's a place when you constantly have to watch your back. Cause it's always someone is ready to take something off you, you know, so this constantly, you have to 24/7 be in this survive mode.
Wow.
And this is drain. This take, and I always ask myself, how can you change that? You know, and what I like about New Zealand, because this is safe, you know, it's a safe place. It's, I don't need to worry about someone's gonna try, maybe once in a blue moon, you know, guys, but this is, it's different in a big city with 20 plus, million people.
Yeah.
You know, so this is different. So yeah, so this approach, I think, yeah, it's really personal, you know, to see, because I think this, the majority of the problem we live in right now, because we don't see each other as a human beings. We just see, you know, where are you from? You know, this normally is the first question, you know, where are you from?
Yeah.
And being really honest, I don't care, you know, where are you from? It's not about where you're from, you know. What you're telling me where you're from? You know, this is, it's not gonna define you with anything, you know, so I kind of, I don't care much, you know. I think culture, it's a dangerous thing as well, because it can really plant some that social hypnose, you know, make you believe in some things and see yourself, you know, or I'm better than other nations, or I'm worse, or I'm this, or I'm that. I kind of think if we think about the planet as one whole land, of course, this is such a dreamer thing, you know, guys, but I don't care. This is what I believe in, what I live in, what I try to practice in the small scale, but I do practice that constantly, you know, even in a joke way, when people say, no, where are you from? I said, I'm born in Brazil, but I'm a human being, you know? So I always see myself in each other, in everybody as a human being. Okay, guys, you're a human being. That's it. You know, and even this idea of, this whole culture of people feel proud of being busy. You know, and forget about we are not a human doing, we are human being, you know, so the idea of make time for meditation to take a deep breath, it's just remind yourself, I'm a human being, I'm passing through this world, I'm gonna die. This is a fact, we cannot change, you know, we all gonna die, and we pass to this planet as all tourists. We are all tourists here, guys. You know, the land is just, you know, we share the same space, but we are all tourists on this place. No one is going to stay here forever, you know? So how can I make my time here, you know, enjoyable for myself and for the ones, you know, surround? So how can I try to leave something from, you know, from my community, from the place I'm living, for, you know, for people think about those things and don't try to just live day by day and, you know, I'm from this place, I'm from that place, this is my flag, this is, you know, so for example, my club, I think it's one of the few Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu club when you're not gonna see flags, you know, nice. Because I don't think if it is fair to put just, normally you see a Brazilian flag and a New Zealand flag, you know, and sometimes a Japanese one because, you know, Jiu-Jitsu came from Japan. So I think it's not fair because at the club I have people from everywhere. I have people from, you know, from New Zealand, from Australia, from Ireland, from England, from Brazil, from everywhere, you know, so.
What's your club? How can they have a look online for you?
So the name is Combat Rome. In Wellington. Yeah, combat room. So you type combat room jiu-jitsu and at YouTube or Facebook page, you're going to find awesome.
People need to go there and have a look. Because if they got questions, just like I contacted you, you're a real person, right? You're
going to
look at emails and reply.
Yeah, for sure.
And I feel like this is something that everyone can do tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can start that look. The next Google search should be investing in the next step.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, the weird websites where you're looking for just things to numb the mind.
Yeah.
Make that next step, something to connect with Vanderson. Or if you're in Auckland like we are, you know, just let's start talking, sharing. Who's the guy who does it up here?
Yeah.
You know, or like you say, just getting in the doors is a great start.
Yeah, in Auckland, I do recommend Tucaja with Pedro Pacheco. It's an awesome guy with a great philosopher as well. So we affiliate to each other. So it's a great guy. So you guys in Auckland, you guys can go check Tucaja.
Yeah.
And there's a combat room in Palmerston North as well,
right? Yeah, Palmerston North and Hastings. So Wellington, Palmerston North and Hastings.
Are they all yours or just affiliate?
Yeah, so it's a big team. So it's students run there, but we were a whole big team. Yeah. You were a big team.
It's
amazing. It's a big team.
Wow. My mind's a bit blown today. Sorry, folks. You know, I've just got to take it a little bit in because I am a little bit, mean as well. This is great for me. I'm learning. So my day tomorrow is going to be processing this. I'm lucky I get to edit the podcast. So I get to listen back and hear all of my silly questions. Vanderson, we ask every guest, if you had to put everything into a sentence to say the meaning we're here, the understanding from your perspective into our world today, what's the meaning of life for you?
Being a human being, you know, being fully present and try to enjoy this journey. You know, it's just a ride, you know, just enjoy that, guys, because this is going to end, you know, it's going to end. So how can you make this enjoyable, not just for yourself, but for the ones you love? So I think this is, being really honest, I don't even have this, you know, this answer fully 100%, but what came to my mind right now, it's exactly that, you know, I'm just expressing what came to my mind. That's being a human being, you know, try to enjoy the moment, you know, because you cannot take it back. So enjoy every single moment, you know, enjoy the ones around you. And if you can do something, do something. If you cannot, don't stay on the way as well, you know. So if you can help, you help. If you cannot, don't stay on the way, you know. And I think this is, you cannot go wrong. And try to see every single person, you know, it's a human being. Every single person is dealing with some demons as well, you know, as we are. So, you know, have some compassion, you know. I think compassion for yourself and compassion for the others. Because, and start with yourself for sure, you know. Have compassion for yourself because everything comes from that, you know, guys. It's simple as that. Exercise compassion for yourself. See yourself as a human being and exercise compassion for the others. You cannot go wrong with that. Simple and precisely, and that's it. You know, it's easy to follow. I think
it's beautiful.
Just quickly, we were talking about it before the podcast started. You were talking about fasting. Mm-hmm. I think there's just some cool DIY stuff that you love so much in there, Will. Just tell us about the fasting stuff you were saying before we started recording.
Because we've talked a little bit about the mind, the body, through exercise, through physical exertion.
Mm-hmm.
But you're almost like a guinea pig, right? You're testing all these things on yourself.
Yeah.
You are the scientist and the proof of that, fasting.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, I'm a bit shocked when I think about that. I think I'm not going to stop eating because my body will store more fat. Yeah. But these are just made up things, are they?
Yeah. So guys, fasting is something I came across with by curiosity as well. Like I was saying, I always was curious about what the cavemen used to eat, you know. So, we have those theories of paleo diet and all those things, but this, I think it's a little bit limited, you know, has more study towards that, has more science towards that. So I was trying to do some research and I came across this book. The name is The Warrior Diet. And I started to read the book and I found fascinating because even, I was saying to you guys before, you know, what got my attention was one of the sentences when he described how the Greeks used to eat. You know, so they used to feed the slaves 3 times per day so they can become a little lethargic and not thinking, you know, much. And
so similar to us today.
Yeah.
We are the slaves.
Cause guys, you know, we never ever in any moment in history, we had so much food available 24/7. So now we can constantly eat. And this is not the human biology changes so little in thousands and thousands of years, you know, so we still, our biology is still primal, you know, so this idea of keeping putting constantly food in our body has a consequence on that, you know, so, and it's clear, we can see around, you know, so how many people today suffering by obesity and the consequence of the obesity as well, you know, so lots of different disease, diabetes and everything. So fasting, it's something, it's natural. It's not hard. So for example, what I follow, so that idea of 16 hours fasting and 8 hours eating. So I think this is the easiest way to start. So the only difference for females change a little bit the rules because of hormones issues. So the females need to do a little bit more research. It's not the same, but, 16 hours fasting, 8 hours eating. In this 8 hours, you don't need to put any restriction. You can eat as much as possible. So what I found for myself, so you lost lots of weight naturally. Your mind, even your mind, because think about what's happened when you're fasting. So, and if you see any type of, philosophy, culture, religion, they talk about fasting in some way. So I always was curious, intrigued about fasting, you know, because has something in fasting, resonates really, really well with human biology, you know, so the idea of, so they prove low calories, high calories, you know, so low calories you make you live longer. So this is one fact. Another fact is when you not constantly put food on your body, you give enough time to your body to repair those cells. So instead of keeping creating new cells, so they related the fasting as on a really strong tool for disease, like cancer, because, you know, the body can repair the cells. And even if you think about animals, when the animals are sick, they don't eat. You know, this is always curious, you know, when the animals are sick, they don't eat. And has lots of science to prove when you're sick and if you're fasting, you're recovered way faster because you give enough time to the body to deal, because the body has enough tools to deal with all disease. But if you're not constantly eating, you give enough time because every time you eat, you're going to have a peak of insulin. And insulin, it's related to, aging and all those in lots of different disease. And it's something really simple to follow, you know, guys. So for example, if you have your last meal, I'm going to say what I do. So give a practical example. So I finished the class. I don't know, 8:30, so I go home, kind of gonna eat 9:30, 9:30, 10. So after I count 16 hours, so 10, let's put 10 p.m. was my last meal. So I'm gonna count 16 hours, and after 16 hours, I'm gonna have something really light. Sometimes I have just a shake of blueberries or a handful of nuts. And I'm going to concentrate my main meal during the night. So pretty much I just have one meal per day. And when I eat with no restrictions, you can even combine what you're supposed to eat in 3 meals and one. And the body, it's so amazing how the body deals with that information. Because when you give the 16 hours to the body to recover, the body, it's able to process everything. And the most important, you teach your body how to use fat as fuel. So instead of the body start, you know, make that storage of fat, you know, the body start, you teach the body how to use body fat as fuel. So those 16 hours has a massive effect on your health, on your mind as well, because they even relate to that little stress, you know. So think about every single thing in nature just grows by stress, you know. So we born because we're comfortable, you know, in our mom's belly, you know, so we're comfortable, it's warm, and we're receiving food and everything. We don't want to get out, you know, so we just get out because some type of stress pushes us, you know, muscle grow, you know, so how do you make your muscle grow, you know, so that, you know, get bigger? Buying stress with some exercise. Fasting does the same thing to your brain, to your body. So put your body in that, but it's a beneficial stress, you know, so it's a little stress. It's going to be really beneficial for repair your cells, make your sleeping better. For men, increase testosterone. What's, you know, that's a plus, you know, so all those benefits. And the most important thing has so much science behind it to prove that. And I face that it's not a diet, you know, it's a lifestyle. So you just need to adapt a little bit, and it's not hard. I'm going to say the first 2 weeks, guys, try instead of 16, try 10 hours. Try 10 hours, you know, so you can have a black coffee. You know, if you're a coffee person, have a black coffee in the morning. That's it, but without milk. You cannot have more than 2 calories because otherwise you break the fasting. Yeah, so this is an important information. So, or you can have a green tea, or of course without sugar, or black coffee, just a black coffee. Go skip the breakfast, and also 10 hours after you eat normally. And after that, try to increase that to 16. When you get to the 16, so the first 2 weeks a little bit challenging. After the second week, towards the third week, your body adapts so fast, and the results are incredible. It's really fast. All that my students, the ones are doing, they're getting really, really good results, and they said, wow. Oh, I will never go back again, you know? So read a little bit, go to intermittent fasting. This is the thing you should look on the internet. You see lots of doctors. The first, go to the doctors, you know, to the scientists. Listen to what they're saying about intermittent fasting. And after, go to the trainers, because the trainers, they're gonna give you different techniques to deal with, you know, the cravings you're gonna have. So it has lots of good information about intermittent fasting. It's something, guys, I do practice, you know, and I do recommend for sure. You cannot go wrong with intermittent fasting.
So 10 at night is your last meal. When's your next meal? So around like 5 or something? 4?
Yeah, 4. Around 4 p.m. Okay. Yeah, 4, 5 p.m. It's wow. When I'm going to have, like I said, a small portion of or a handful of raw nuts or blueberries.
Just something to get you through to your main feast.
Yes, yeah.
And you can have a feast too, right?
And after, during the night, guys, I eat like a horse.
That's,
you know,
amazing.
I eat lots. But I combine it just in one meal.
Yeah.
And after, I give enough time to my body. And people said, you're not going to sleep well. No, it's not true, guys. I sleep really, really well, you know. So after that, 10 minutes meditation, that's it. So fasting, BJJ, meditation. That's my trilogy for, you know, for a healthy, happy life.
Love it. You know what I'm realizing, Vanison? You're talking about fasting of the mind as well, right?
Mm.
That's basically what we're saying here. Have a window of stress, as much stress as you can pack in, physically, emotionally, mentally, go. Then let it go.
Yes.
Same with
let
food.
Let it go.
Eat as much as you want. Be a pig, yeah. And then don't eat.
Yes,
and that
exactly.
Might just be what the whole world has the wrong way.
The idea of giving rest, and also give rest to your body, give rest to your system, give rest to your mind, give rest to your emotions. Because if you constantly feed yourself, thinking too much, doing stuff, you know, you don't give enough time to recovery, and recovery is such a massive thing. People are stressed because they don't give enough time to recovery. Mm. And this is, I'm talking about the whole thing, like we are saying, it's body, it's mind, it's emotion, all those things together. We must find time to give a little break, a little pause, you know, so we pause a little bit the blender, you know, because otherwise it's just that blender, you know, spinning. Come down, guys. Oh, let it go. Stop a little bit. Pause that for, you know, no one is that important, cannot have 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes, you know, before going to bed, to focus on yourself, you know. So we even joke at the monastery. We said that sometimes if you don't have 10 minutes in the morning, 10 minutes on the night, you should meditate for 1 hour because you're just too busy, you know? So you must find those 10 minutes, you know, because if you don't have, something's really, really wrong, you know, you're just too proud of being too busy, you know, and this is wrong, you know. I found funny when people said, you know, I've been too busy because of this. I cannot come to train, or I cannot do this, or I cannot do that. But guys, you know, let's stop that, you know, let's be proud of, look after ourselves, you know, and this is, take a break, let things go, you know, relax, sit just with yourself. Sometimes, you know, eat by yourself, you know, without any interaction, you know, go to the wild, you know, go to the beach, you know, by yourself, try to, you know, interact with that resonance of the environment, you know, do those things, you know, it's really important. Just need a small amount of time. It's not much, you know, 10 minutes enough to have a healthy mind, you know.
Well, and also I'm imagining when you go to the bush or the beach, you're looking long distance too, right? Mm. You're doing what we're built to do, not in this close combat of right in front of me, my phone, my iPad, my computer, my car, you know?
Yeah.
So looking long distance, I'm sure it has, cause if I think about my day, I've only looked within 10 meters of where I'm going. there's a problem there. So, hey, Venison, we appreciate you coming in, man. Anytime you're in Auckland, please let us know because we need to talk to you more.
You're one of those people
that has got it right. And we all need to do the best we can to jump on board. What I love about you is you haven't picked a team. You aren't, you know, with no flags, your team's life.
Yes.
And I'm on board with that. I don't want to be on a team. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be in the blue or the red or the Democrats or Republicans. I don't care. Show me the people who are being happy and being physically fit and have some money, and I'm on board with that. So we thank you.
Oh, awesome. Thank you guys. I think you guys' initiative of, you know, bring those people, you know, the Paul, you know, I was so glad, you know, to see Paul here, you know, he's a guy making a difference in New Zealand as well. And also, yeah, thank you guys, because without you guys, you know, we need to share ideas, you know. I think this is the most important. What you guys are priceless, what you guys are doing, because it's an opportunity for us to share ideas, you know. Otherwise, what the poet's doing, it's all those things, you know, people are never gonna know, you know. Exactly. So, and yeah, thank you guys. Thank you so much.
Man. Well, that's the hope. The internet is our savior because it's free to share ideas.
Mm.
And so now we just got to work on building our cool little network of people like you and Paul and the other guests we've had who are just interested in us being happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a weird word, happiness, because it freaks people out, you know, happy. Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah. I've got my flat screen TV.
Yeah.
But it means something different to me now, you know. It's anyway, I'll stop there. Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
Well, that's it, folks. Vanderson is the man, and I do look forward to catching up with him anytime. I'm thinking about going to try a little bit of jiu-jitsu myself, so stay tuned. I'll see if I can do it like I did with the float tank episode, where I just test it out and document the process. Hey, just before I wrap up, a couple things. First of all, thank you again to you guys. Honestly, I might sound like I'm harping on a little bit here, but I do appreciate every tweet I get, every email I get. So please touch base with me at WillFlemingNZ on Twitter, will.fleming@podcasts.nz email, and you can like and share and contact me on the Facebook page, facebook.com/MyKiwiLife. All right, friends, that's all of the junk out of the way. Hope you guys are having a good week. Hope you're enjoying My Kiwi Life. I know that I'm loving bringing you these episodes every week. Hey, I'm going to do something a bit different this week. At the end of this episode, you'll hear a bit of an original song from me. So a few years ago, I started mucking around with recording some of my own music. And it never really went anywhere. I think it was a cool creative outlet. But I kept the audio. And today I'm going to share one of the tracks with you guys. So, it's a little bit weird, but enjoy the episode. Well, enjoy the song, and we'll see you guys next week on My Kiwi Life. Hugs to everyone.
Whoa, this is my Kiwi Life.
don't know what I did wrong. Day after day, as my heart begins to fall, I'm still waiting for your call. But I keep pretending that you haven't got me on my knees. Beg and save me, please. But I keep pretending that you're not the one in my dreams, not the one I want to keep, not the one that makes me weak. And my baby, 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 baby is so unfair. How you've been away again. And I said, baby, 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 you disappeared out of my life. So beautiful, my baby, you're so beautiful.